Well, David and Goliath, I'm sure we all know that story. It's a very famous story for a reason. It was the underdog story. We all love underdog stories, don't we? Huh? Just like Friday night, I was up against three young men in a bowling alley, and I had this big ball. And they were throwing firecrackers down the lane. Things were flying all over the place. And then who came out victorious? Not the first time. I have to give that to Mark. Okay, Mark, he got me. All right, the first game. The second game, I threw what's called again, three in a row? A turkey. You see, I know you guys go hunting for turkeys, and you like that. Well, come join me at the bowling alley. I'll show you what a turkey looks like. All right? And then, of course, I turned around to him after I got that third one. I went, how about them cowboys? I should have said, how about those turkeys? But that was wonderful. It's good to get out there and still try to be young. I know, I was building it up there. Yeah, I just building it up. I didn't even tell you who I was really facing. See, I'm keeping everything secretive, you know, so just a safe face for some people. So except for Mark, who beat me, and I don't care. Because he beat me. You beat me, then there's another issue going on there. So, same thing, you know, David and Goliath, there's, you know, who's going to get the beating, right? And we know that this is kind of interesting. It's when I was looking at this, and a blessing comes out in this message. It's called, King Saul said this to David. He says, go, and the Lord be with you. Well, I know, I don't know how many times, you know, you have friends or family and they come over and visit you. And when they go home, you go, oh, bye, have a good trip home. And, you know, I hope everything goes well. I hope it's safe travels and things like that. And that's okay. I mean, it's just how we do things, right? But, you know, it lacks blessing. Your heart is in it and you care, you love the people, but it lacks power. Why? Well, because it does not invite the Lord into that circumstance. We just kept him out. It was a great time having you. Hey, I hope you have a safe trip home. That sounds pretty good, really, and that's normal. But I hope, personal pronoun I, well, what can I do? I mean, I show I love the person, but I can't do anything to help them get home safely. But when I say, hey, the Lord go with you. Have travel mercies. May his blessings be upon you and your safe travels. And then you're given a blessing and you're inviting the Lord. And this is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D into the situation. And you can leave them in the Lord's hands, and there's blessings in that. And so a lot of people say, "Well, why is it so important to invite the Lord?" I know other people. You know, you say, "Hey, I hope you." And I might say something, "Hey, the Lord bless you and give you safe travels," and they'll go, "Oh, don't get all spiritual on me." All right. I mean, that's probably, or you're even thinking about that, thinking yourself, oh, do I want to get all spiritual? And you kind of step back a little bit because we're human, right? And it's hard sometimes to really want to invite God into circumstances of those around us or even our own circumstances because we're used to being one person, me, myself, and I. I'm going to fight this world. You know, I'm going to go up against a big giant by myself. Well, let's see how well that goes. Yes, Miss Carol.
I just wanted to say, we got a new vehicle this week, and Don gave the salesman about a half-hour sermon.
Was he a giant? All right. You were the giant. Well, that's wonderful. It is always good to have that. It is good to have that. So, well, you know, going back for that, you know, if you want to look at why you want to invite Lord, into your circumstances and in people, other your loved ones. You go to Exodus 15. This is right when the Israelites, after they were exiting out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea. Well, when things, big things like that happen, you start realizing some truths in your lives that you are really a peanut. And God is the one that moves and shakes things, and he splits the water. And then you come up with things that you understand. Oh, when God is present, why not? When he comes into my circumstances, and Moses was sitting there with the staff going, you know, looking at the sea and going, I don't know what's going on. And God just said, do what I told you. Boom. And there goes the sea as he blows through his nostrils and makes the ground dry before them and has the water stand up on each side. Impossible. But God is a God of the impossible. That's why we invite him into our circumstances. And then we start acknowledging him. He is my strength. He is my defense. He is my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him. The Lord is a warrior. You keep on going down. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. And they just keep on going down. You go like to verse 11. You go, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. And your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them. To your holy dwelling, the nations will hear and tremble. And then you keep on going there, verse 16, little Lord, there it says, by the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone. Talk about your enemies. Until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. And bought, now you're talking about something that he, you know, what he did in Egypt. He bought them. Did you know that? He killed the firstborn. He could have killed all the firstborn because they're all sinners, the Israelites and Egyptians. But he took the Egyptian firstborn in place of the Israelites' firstborn out of his mercy. He bought them. He redeemed them in that. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. And it goes down there in verse 18, the Lord reigns forever and ever. Why wouldn't you want to invite somebody like that into your circumstances? Why? Yeah, that's the question. And the answer is, we're prideful. We're prideful. We doubt. Our relationship with the Lord is a little bit shaky, and we don't really know him as my protector, my deliverer, my savior. Definitely not my Lord. I don't know his power. I haven't really realized that in my life. Or things didn't work out yesterday the way I wanted them. Maybe not today either. I don't know. See, God's not looking at things such as, I'll give you what you want, and that's it. No, God has got his own plan going, and we're fitting into it. And whether we're going to have to lay down our lives to pave the way for others, that's his plan. No, we are to join in the circumstances he has for us. It's amazing, truthfully, what he does. I mean, when you look at David and Goliath, you can take this message, this chapter here, you can preach on it many, many, many times, if not 100 times. There's so much in here to learn, and I'm just kind of going over the top, just skimming it a little bit. So bear with me with that, and hopefully we can get some important things out of this as well today. See, blessings, I know I like the blessing. I pray for Nolan or Cam or, you know, when they're with us and, you know, going to school or something. And I do, you know, from 1 Corinthians, I pray that, you know, hey, stand firm in faith, be strong, be courageous, do all things in love. And that's, you know, and it might not be perfect to that. I just kind of paraphrase it in my own words, but that is a blessing. Allowing the Lord to come into their circumstances for that day. So Saul, King Saul, saying this to David, I mean, however, whatever the attitude that Saul had when he said this, I don't know where his heart was. Was it sarcastic? Was it, oh, okay, the Lord be with you, because we'll look at that circumstances. But David could certainly take this as a great encouragement, knowing the Lord is with him. So today, you know, when we face our daily battles in our own lives, it's critical for us to know, you know, why should we invite and the Lord, and how does that look like, and what would we expect? And that's what we're going to be looking at today as we continue on. Let's pray before we continue on here. Father God, we just give this time, this word that you have written for us to teach us, to draw us near to you and to help us to walk in your path. So I pray, Father, that you'll just empower my words, that you'll give guidance and direction, that your word will come alive in us. So not only do we hear it, but Lord, that it'll penetrate to the depths of our souls, to our heart, and Lord, that we can apply it, what you have for us in our daily walk with you. So we just give this time to you. And may you receive all the glory and praise in it. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So first of all, when you look at chapter 17 there, and I'm in the wrong Bible. I'm in the wrong book here. Where am I? I was in Exodus still. What am I doing there? 17 there. And the picture is set. You got two armies. And there's actually, people say, well, why didn't they engage? You know, because there's been 40 days that they've been sitting there looking at one another. Well, there's a big ravine in between them. So whoever attacked first was going to be at a disadvantage. So, you know, just sit there and yell at one another. Right? And of course, this big guy comes out and says, hey, you guys suck. Excuse my language. Come and get me. You know, come and get me. That type of thing, right? That's pretty much what he's saying. You know, God is nobody. Come and we'll see who fights the winner, and you guys become our slaves or we become your slaves, and that type of stuff, and all this is going on. See, I had, Chris was reading this, and I was going, well, this is the human viewpoint, right? This is a human viewpoint, what's going on here, right at the beginning. Oh, they're describing Goliath, this big boy over 9.5 feet tall. And I don't know how wide he was. And he had armor, a spear, and he had an armor bear in front of him. I know. Sounds pretty tough to me. It sounds like you're going up against a football team, really. You're trying to get to the quarterback, and it's just you. You're trying to get through the offensive line to him, and, you know, it doesn't look too good. It's very bad, you know. But what's interesting, first of all, that we have to look at, it's even amazing that David got into the battle itself. Have you ever thought about that? See, if you look at, there's a lot of distractions in our lives, and as we see in David, you know, first of all, you noticed he was going back and forth. He was too young to join the army. So first of all, he wasn't even a part of this. You know, he's bringing some food to his bros and to the other soldiers, you know, out of the kindness. And that's how they did it back then. They provided rations for the army that way. And, you know, so really when he's going around and he hears, see this Goliath guy and stuff like that, you know, he could have said, that's your responsibility. I'm going home to the sheep. You take care of it. You guys are trained. Simple enough. That's what I do. Right? I mean, I'm not trained. You guys got this. Go get them. I'm going home. I'm going home. Or getting up in the morning and, you know, you have your little to-do list. I know who does to-do lists. I do them at times. Yeah. Wow. Not too many people do to-do lists? Wow. So unorganized. How do you guys get anything done? Well, or get it done list. Okay, get it done list is a good one too. Well, you know, you get up in the morning, you got the to-do list, but then here's this giant coming in your way, and that's not on my to-do list. I didn't write that down. I don't know about you. Did you? I didn't write that down. So then it's kind of like, that's not on my list. No time for it. Let's get some other thing. I got to get the sheep pen taken care of. Yeah, that was my first thing, right? Then, you know, does God have the freedom to interrupt our lives? and so, you know, David could certainly have just said, forget that, you know. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of fear. Have you noticed they're terrified? Even Saul was terrified at this guy. And Saul was a pretty big guy himself and a pretty good warrior himself. But he was terrified too. So there's a culture of fear in there. And he could have just, David could have joined that too. He said, man, this is scary. Get out of here. You know, he could be turning around, going the other way all the time. And then when he was starting to get a little bit nosy and asking around what's going on here, you know, after hearing Goliath's, challenges and stuff of that, and his brother, he started getting discouraging words shot at him. Have you ever had people shoot discouraging words at you? It comes from family. It comes from all sorts of angles, right? Classmates and coaches and co-workers and maybe even yourself sometimes. You know, Eliab's going, what are you doing, you brat? What are you doing here? Get home. Take care of the sheep, you know? And then he comes up to Saul and says, you know, what Saul says, you're not able, there in 33, he says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Yeah, that's pretty discouraging. Thank you. Right? And then when he starts going towards Goliath, and Goliath shoots these words at him, he says, well, he says, come here, he said. Oh, wait, first of all, he says there in 43, he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Well, you know, first of all, Goliath has to get new glasses because he didn't have, well, I guess maybe the slingshot was a stick. Why not? Maybe. Okay, maybe I'm wrong there, but he also had some rocks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Well, I'm gone. I don't know about you. I would have been gone at Eliab, all right? I would have heard that and said, okay, all right, big bro, I listen to you. I'm getting out of here. I would have gone home. Would you? I would have gone home. I don't know about you. I would have gone home right there. Some of you might have toughed it out. And then when King Saul says, shh, you're too wimpy, guy. You're too wimpy. You can't handle this guy. You know, and then, okay, you're right. What am I thinking? You know? Or then when you're starting to get a little bit closer to this big guy, and then you notice that you're not only outsized, but you're out-equipped, and you're outnumbered. And then he says, hey, you dog, you call me a dog? Why do you come at me with sticks and stuff like that? What are you? I'm going to feed you to the birds. And I'd be going, yeah. You're right. What am I doing here? All right, what am I doing here? So this is, you know, with all of that and more, there is a lot of distractions, a lot of obstacles for David to even get into the battle. Impossible. Things were coming at him from all angles. Did you know that Jesus had the same thing walking on earth? The first thing, you know what happens? At his baptism, do you remember what John the Baptist said? It says, hey, no, I'm not to baptize you. You are to baptize me. And Jesus says, no. We got to do everything right for the Father. See, the enemy just uses these little ploys to try to cause Jesus to do something that's not obedient unto the Lord, unto the Father. And it just keeps on steamrolling, you know, the temptations that he went through and all the mocking and all the resistance that he got from the Pharisees and Sadducees and whoever else. And all the people, even onto the cross. And people mocking him and saying, come on down. Come off the cross. So he faced a lot of obstacles himself that he could have turned away. When he was praying in a garden, he's saying, hey, I don't want this cup. Take it from me. But your will be done, not my will. See, there's an important ingredient in here, a very important ingredient that we forgot. I forgot to mention. See, just before all this Goliath stuff, what happened to David? Remember that in the last chapter? What happened to him? Do you remember? He was anointed king. And when he was anointed to be the next king, what happened? Do you remember? The Spirit came upon him. See, in a human perspective, he should have been gone. He should not even enter that battle. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon him in power. He's not going on his own strength. And he is not looking through his own eyes. Because if he was, the smartest thing he could have done was not even get up in the morning or tell his dad, hey, send one of your servants. I'm not even going to go over there. The Holy Spirit moved. You see how he shapes? He's shaping David from his birth. And as he sings songs unto the Lord, you see that. And he shaped his life as he shepherded these sheep to know how to be a true leader. And then God moved him and anointed him for to be the next king. And he's shaping his heart to have a heart after his own heart. And all of this. And in that, there's courage. In there, there's obedience. In that heart, new heart, is trust. And that's going on. His eyes, he took off his glasses, his old glasses, and he put on the glasses of a viewpoint from the Lord's. And he's going, I got this. He doesn't say, I got this. He says, what? The Lord's got this. I mean, look at his words, right? He's going here, going back a little bit here. And he hears his champion. And if you go to verse 34, and this is how David replied to Saul. He said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. See, he could have ran another way then too, right? I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. He's being a shepherd, a good shepherd, isn't he? He's putting his life on the line to save his sheep. Who else does that remind you of? Jesus did exactly that. He put his life on the line for all of us. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. That was an amazing sight. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, the Lord who rescued me, do you hear that? From the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Boom. He's got a whole different perspective, doesn't he? See, in our own circumstances, we have a tendency to just kind of get everything, we blow things up. I don't know about you. You know, the little becomes something like a big Goliath before us. And we back up in fear, or we run off to somebody to find help or whatever, you know. But we always, you know, we forget to invite God into this circumstance and start seeing things through his viewpoint, through his eyes. And through his eyes, what he sees Goliath as just a mere mortal human being that he's going to strike down with a single little stone, thrown accurately enough to go boom, right in the forehead. That's all it took. All the armor with another guy in front of him, one stone, boom, the guy goes down. Head chopped off by young David. And his head, he brought it. He brought it with him. Did you know that? He was using it. He I think he put it up on his trophy case, is what it sounds like. Yeah. And he used Goliath's sword after a while too, in later days. It's amazing. And in all of this, we go, well, what's going on here? What's going on here? Because, you know, David, you know, he did this amazing victory, and it's just, but really, what it's all about, don't lose focus what it's all about. Because when you go back to Genesis 12, then you start understanding a little bit more about what it's really about, okay? What it's really about during Genesis 12 is God comes to Abraham, and he says, you know, hey, come, follow me to another country. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then you go on a little bit further on to Exodus 9:16, and you know, all these plagues and all this stuff that God's working to bring his people out of this slavery, which really represents the dark dominion of the enemy. And 9:16 says this, but I have raised you up for this very purpose. He could be talking to you and me. You know that? He's talking to Israel. I have raised you up in this for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So now you're starting to get a little bit better picture here. Can you see the God-sized picture here that's going on? And then you go to Deuteronomy 28, a little bit further on, Moses speaking to his people, to the people of Israel, 9-10. And it says this, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Why did God give David a victory? He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He could have had Goliath slaughter him and work another way to defeat the Philistines at that time. He didn't have to. But he did. Why? Obedience. What else? For his glory. And David knew that. See, if you notice all of his words, there was nothing about himself other than just going, it's God. He saved me from the bear and the lion. He'll save me from this guy too. It's God. He just gets the glory. Give him the glory. You know, we go to so many, you know, a lot of sports stuff, or go to, you know, a concert or a movie or whatever it is, and people are always going, look at me, I am the greatest. No, you're not. You might think you are, but you're not. Because God is the greatest. Look, he takes a little boy, a shepherd boy, who wasn't even included in an anointing ceremony until Samuel says, well, don't you have another son? He takes up the lowliest. Only the children can get into the kingdom of God, right? You have to be like a child, that Jesus said there. We have to be like children. He raised up a child. And he looked like a little boy in front of this big old giant. But that little boy took down that big old giant because the Lord went before him. Just like he did his son. And as Jesus saw everything through the eyes, divine eyes of God, he was able to take on the cross and die for us. Because he knew what he was doing. It's all for the glory of the Father, right? For his plan to be done. Everything finished perfectly. People being brought to him. His people coming to him. Cleansed from their sin. Starting new lives. Impossible. Going through the cross. Somebody dying for others. It's impossible that that could happen. I could die for you or any of you, and it wouldn't mean anything. I mean, I'm sure for you, you'd be going, thank you for, you know, throwing yourself on that grenade so I can live on. But for salvation purpose, for eternal purposes, it doesn't have much effect. But Christ's life has the perfect, complete effect. And that's what it's all about. His plan. See, did you know this? Some of you guys like wrestling. Did you know that the enemy didn't even score a point against Jesus? Did you know that? Because when he was on the cross, you would think at least the devil killed him on the cross and at least got 1 point, right? 1 point. You know, you get in a fight, even though you get whooped, if you just get one shot in there, you go, yeah, at least I got him once. I put a bruise on his face. Or I kicked him in the shin. He's got a bruise on his shin or whatever it is. Or a bite mark on his arm. That's probably what he'd get from me. Like that, right? Ooh, I got this mark. Look what you did to me. You know what? The devil got zero. Because if you looked at, John 10, 17, 18, Jesus was given authority to what? Lay down his life. The devil didn't even kill him. He laid his own life down for us. And then he had authority to raise it back up again. The devil had nothing. He defeated him completely. Just like David with Goliath. You know, Jesus is hanging on a cross, dying, suffocating for us, taking on upon all of our sin for us. It looks bad. That cross is more than a giant. It's impossible to defeat. But he defeated it. He defeated the enemy. He overcame the world. That's when he was talking to his disciples. He says, you know, in this world, you're going to have all sorts of trouble. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Right? I've overcome it for us. See, he did the same thing for David. He went before David. He gave him the courage to step in there. He got him in there, and first of all, he put him there just like he did an Esther or Moses, you know, a Paul, a Peter. You know, he brought him into these situations for a purpose. Us, you, me, we're here for a purpose. We're put in these situations for a purpose. We're in his plan. And it might look like there's many giants in front of us. But then take off your own glasses then. Get out of that perspective, of the human perspective, and put on the glasses of the Lord God Almighty, who created everything, created you and everything. Get everything from his view, you see. So it goes that now go, the Lord be with you. So first of all, in our daily walk, we need to invite him into our circumstances. Don't leave him out. Don't go, oh no, I got this, God. No, because it's not for you. The glory did not go to David, even though everybody was going, David, David, David. No, the glory was to the Lord. So it's not about you. We are to be priests to those around us, and we are to bless them. And even though they go, oh, don't get all spiritual on me, bless them. Because God's going to work impossible things in his life. Bless them. Even if you don't feel like it, you're mad at them at a point in time, or you don't feel all spiritual at that time, you got up bad. I don't have it on my to-do list. My Cowboys lost. Pittsburgh lost. Makes me happier. And then you bless. Bless them, whether you feel like it or not. Whether you think the situation is good for it or not. Because now you're calling this one and his presence into that situation, and he's the one who works out what looks impossible, and he makes it possible. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know. It might look like Ukraine. It might look like Israel and Hamas right now. But I guarantee you, God is working out all these things for the good of all those who love him. And he's working out that none, not even the wicked, he does not desire anybody to die, nobody to perish, but all to become repentant, all to be saved and to come to knowledge of the Lord. That's his heart. His name to be glorified, and the people can hear his name and they'll know, oh, you God, you're the one. You're the one that saved David. You're the one that did this in that person's life. Oh, I need that. I need you, Lord. So invite them. Not only invite them, but then, like I said, see through the eyes of the Lord. Get yourself out of that circumstance. And remember who he is. And see what everything is focused upon for his glory and for the good of those around us. And then, not only that, be confident. Go off. Get that sling. Get the, you know, take off that armor and say, this is not me. I gotta get five rocks. And I need five. I'm gonna just need one. I'm gonna go after that big boy and I'm just slinging around. Zoom. Be confident in the Lord, your God. If you're not confident, get into the Word and pray. Talk with him. That he'll give you that confidence to face those giants every day. And then lastly, glorify his name. So don't put yourself up front. Hey, look what I did. I took down Goliath. I did it again. No. No. The best thing you can do is this. Just say, hey, it's the Lord. He helped me. The Lord went before me. That's what happened. That's how I got out of that circumstance. That's how I got victory in that circumstance. Or I prayed for my friend and he got through that circumstance. It's the Lord. And people are going to hear about that. The Lord? He's alive? He's real? He's alive. That is what it is to go in the blessing of the Lord. So we can be a blessing to all those around us. So don't think, oh, you're getting all spiritual on me. And don't back off. Don't let that giant take you down. You stand up and you bless and you pray. I don't care if you're in Walmart, CVS, or wherever. You find somebody and you're talking with them, they need prayer, pray. Get the Lord into the circumstance of that person. You might not know the results, but when you get to heaven, you might see that person there, or you might see that somebody, whoever that person was praying for or having a problem. I don't know. So get the Lord into it. And then Darren, as I had Chris reading Psalm 71, just wanted to end this on this. Listen to this. This is David's heart. This guy that slayed Goliath. right? God using his life to do an amazing thing. As for me, I will always have hope. This is verse 14. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. And I can just keep on going through that whole thing, the rest of that chapter, the rest of that psalm. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation. So if you got some gray hair, I don't.
Do you want some?
No. Because my wife is always looking for them, and she can't find them yet. Hey, you got gray hair? Pray. Hallelujah. He's going to work his wonders in your life. He's going to use you. All comes down to praising God and giving him the honor and the glory. And get in a battle. Get in a battle and be a blessing to those around us. Huh? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word. And yeah, David, it was amazing that he even got into the battle. Yes, but that's because of you. You were right there with him. And you're making the path clear for him. You gave him the courage, the heart to go forth because he knew who was going before him. He wasn't doing it on his own. It was you. And Lord, may we remember that for each one of us here who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are not walking alone. We walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, when we do that, oh, this world better tremble. And it will. As you bless, as each one of us bless and pray and speak the word of God. Yeah, this darkness, this dark world will tremble. And many more will come into your kingdom of light because they hear about you. They see you working through our little menial lives, our little wimpy lives. So thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for this word of encouragement and challenge, Lord. May we be people who bless and pray and speak the word of the Lord and stand firm in it and be strong and be courageous and do all things in love and guard our hearts in your word. And may you receive all the glory and praise in it all. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say, amen.